Tonight's episode of CNC Reviews on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include the /PWP Radio so they know we sent you.
We here at CNC Reviews would like to remind you to turn off your cell phones and remain as quiet as possible during the show.
And before you start asking questions, we are not kidding. If you don't stay quiet, I will go ghetto on your ass.
Unless you want a large black man beating the shit out of you, I would shut the fuck up.
You're damn right.
Please, sit back, enjoy the show, and remain courteous to your fellow listeners.
Or you know what will happen.
Well, we're 10 minutes late because Blog Talk Radio is a piece of shit, and I don't give a fuck if I'm saying it on Blog Talk Radio. This is our last night on here. What is going on, motherfuckers? My name is Caleb Johnston. I am joined by James. Cameron's still on his vacation. We're moving to the YouTube next week. James, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. That was probably the most strenuous 10 minutes.
There was just 10 minutes of me and you saying, what the fuck?
Yep, pretty much. And it's just like, I mean,
fucking
all right,
bastards.
Like, I've never had any serious issues until past 2 weeks. Past 2 weeks,
right?
I've had the biggest issues with them.
The
you know what? We're here now. But you know what? We're here now. You know what? We're just here. We're live. We have everything here. It's our last one. So let's just do this.
And plus, we have, like, actually, we don't get to go the full 90 minutes because it cut off, so that was literally just 10 minutes of, like, dead air. So we only have, like an hour and 20 minutes to do this shit.
Yeah.
We should probably do it.
And for those of you that actually stuck around for the dead air, bless you.
Ethan.
Bless you. Yes, bless you. Bless you, people, for sticking around.
Bless you, Ethan.
Yes, we know. We know last week we had some difficulties. Actually, that wasn't our fault. That was actually Blog Talk's fault, so whatever.
Yeah, fuck Blog Talk. We have literally, and I will say that, yeah, fuck Blog Talk. I'm going to say that so many times this show, but nonetheless, we need to get shit started.
Yes.
Because it is going to be shit, we have less time. I'm just going to get started. Okay, Fargo, movie of the week, William H. Macy, Steve Buscemi, other people, Frank Gallagher and Nucky Thompson, it's all that matters, ladies and gentlemen. And if you get those references, then you get a gold star. Now, here's the thing. Fargo is basically this very – it has a very confusing plot. I'm pretty sure that the pregnant female cop, I believe her name is Marge, not Simpson, was the main character. Basically, so there's a pregnant police chief and stuff, and she's, you know, trying to figure out this fucking murder and everything. And it's all linked to the fact that William H. Macy's all like, oh, I need some money and stuff. And then he's like – so then him and Steve Buscemi and Steve Buscemi's people – start coming up with this plan, basically that they're going to kidnap William H. Macy's wife, and they're going to get a ransom from William H. Macy's rich, father-in-law and stuff, and then that's going to be able to get the money. It's really, really, you know, and they're going to split it. It's a really, really interesting plot, and it's almost hard to explain. So, James, I'm going to start right into it. Look, what were your thoughts on Fargo? Like, your opening thoughts?
I thought the Fargo was, you know, decent. I mean, like, and I'm sure this goes for a lot of people. It takes a lot for me to get into a movie. I mean, like, the plot really just has, like, to grab me from the start. If I don't have any interest in it within, like, the first 5 minutes, I'm probably not going to have any interest throughout the entire duration of the film. This was one of those movies where it didn't really grab me all that much. I mean, like, still, I thought that it was decent. Am I ever going to watch it again? Probably maybe not for another few years. I'm not going to lie. But however, I will say William H. Macy is a very underrated actor.
Oh, I agree. I love William H. Macy.
Exactly. And Buscemi, There's always something that's bothered me about Buscemi. I have no idea what it is, but just something about him that bothers me. But anyways,
maybe it's because he looks like he's an anorexic skeleton.
This is also true, and he was a total creep in Grown Ups.
He's a creep in all of his movies. Steve Buscemi. He's been in this Big Lebowski, Boardwalk Empire, Reservoir Dogs. He's been in a lot of stuff I like. I love Steve Buscemi is seriously like in the top five actors I would want to work with in my career one day, and I think that just says a lot about that because I love Steve Buscemi even though he creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah, but Fargo overall, I thought that it was a decent film based on a true story, I believe.
Oh, yes, I saw that at the beginning.
Yes, and a little bit gory, just a little bit.
Oh, very gory.
Yeah. But, yeah, overall, I thought that it was a decent film. You know, like, I don't really have much praise for it. So, yeah, I mean, just decent, really.
One thing I will say is, you brought this up to me earlier, is what the fuck was up with the accents? They're in North Dakota.
I always thought that Minnesota was, like, U.S.'s own Canada.
Yes, I agree with that.
But I guess North Dakota is really U.S.'s Canada, but...
going by this movie.
Yeah, and I just want to point out now, Canadian accents really, it's a huge stereotype. I have known nobody in my lifetime with a single hint of a Canadian accent. Never.
Oh, you haven't, eh?
No, I haven't.
I see. Well, James, if you don't mind, I'm going to be riding my moose off to the Mounties.
All right, have fun up there.
And that was kind of racist to Canadians.
Have fun up there. It's like minus 30 Celsius, which is damn cold in Fahrenheit.
Shit, it is. And one thing I'll give this movie props because it invented the creepy Steve Buscemi sex scenes, which we've grown to love and know in Boardwalk Empire. I will never get used to Steve Buscemi sex scenes. They're the grossest sex scenes there, and I've seen Kevin Spacey sex scenes.
What would you give this rating out of 10? Or this movie at 10 rating, I guess.
7 or 8. 7.5.
I'll probably just give it like a solid 6.
Pulling the platoon here.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is season 2 finale, by the way, because we do that shit and we call it seasons, which I don't think I've ever really brought it up. Again, since like the season 1 finale. But yeah, this is season 2. And we went 8 episodes, so yeah, that's cool. And oh fuck, Block Talk, by the way. Nonetheless, moving on from Fargo to the wrestling, which is what it's mostly going to be about, is breaking the code behind the walls of Chris Jericho is the documentary tonight. And wow, this was a doozy. This was great. This came out like 4 years ago. It's just great. It tells you about all of Chris Jericho's career from his start, you know, down in places like Japan, Mexico, ECW, Germany, Smoky Mountains. Great all the way to, you know, his, like I believe, 2009-10 career in WWE, and I thought it was fantastic. Jamie, what did you think about it, like, overall, before we get into detail?
Just, like, the overall, like, documentary itself?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I thought it was great. It was, I would say, it would probably be the best documentary of 2010, I believe. I mean, like, there's nothing else I think.
I would say that.
Yeah, because I don't think that there was anything else that came out that year, but you just notice how every year there's like at least one or two big names that get their own DVD. Like, you know, 2013 you had Mick Foley and Triple H, 2012 you had Rock and CM Punk, and in 2011 you had Stone Cold and
that one was so good.
Yeah, Stone Cold and I think somebody else, but I'm not entirely sure. And in 2010 you had Chris Jericho. And
Ricky Steamboat, but I mean,
that
wasn't like really big.
I compare Steamboat didn't really have much of one on there, did he?
I've never watched it. I have no idea.
I heard it was like 40 or 45 minutes long. So I'd probably compare it to the Attitude Era one that they did, but
way too short.
You know, definitely too short, but. I will say, though, that Jericho's was very, very well done. And also, like, you know, Jericho is a guy that, all right, WWE and music are a little bit different. and it's very hard to succeed in both. Jericho has done both and has succeeded in both. And he's also
a good band. Fuck you.
Exactly. Fozzy is a tremendous band. And also, he's a writer. He has his, I think, third book, I think, that's coming out this year.
Yep, June, I believe.
Yep, so, yeah, he has succeeded at being a writer, a musician, and a professional wrestler slash WWE superstar.
Plus, he's got the podcast of Thunder and Rock and Roll.
Yes, exactly, and he's got his own podcast. Jericho, it's like anything Jericho does, it succeeds. I mean,
anything you can do, I can do better.
Pretty much, that's exactly what Jericho's doing. But you know what? I thought that Breaking the Code was very, very good. The matches on it are hell. I mean, like.
Match with Ultimo Dragon from Japan, man.
If you don't want Jericho's bio and you just want Jericho matches, I mean, like, hell, this is a good pickup, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly, man. I mean, the matches on this set are fucking crazy. Like, they're really fucking insanely good. Like, isn't his unsanctioned match with Michaels from Unforgiven on it?
I don't believe that one is on there, no, but I do know that his ladder match with Shawn Michaels from No Mercy that year is on there, too, which is also...
Well, really there cool. You go. That's worth buying the set for that match alone.
Exactly. I mean, like, you've got his WWE title match from Raw in 2000 with Hunter on there. You got the night... Oh, yeah, definitely. You got the night... Or his match with The Rock from No Mercy 2001... Which is a damn good match.
It is.
I mean, that match, I don't think... Actually, you know what? That match never, ever gets talked about. And that was a damn good one. And, you know, also the night that he became the first ever Undisputed Champion is on here. His match with Shawn Michaels at Mania 19. His match with...
Was his match with Steamboat from Backlash on it?
You know what? Actually, no, it isn't.
What? Why are all the matches I'm naming not on it?
I have no idea. Maybe because...
I know what it is. It's the same night that I was watching his set, I watched that match on YouTube. That's what it was.
There you go. Wait, you watched on YouTube and not on the network?
This was, like, a year ago.
Oh, well, there you go.
His set enough times.
A year ago, we were kind of supposed to... Well, I mean, like, a year ago, we were kind of supposed to have the network, so.
We were supposed to have it. I remember in 2011 being like, man, they're not going to be – I hope I get the channel the WWE Network is on.
Exactly. And now it's like, well, shit, I don't even need the channel now. I just need the internet. But, yeah, I mean, the Jericho set, guys, I'm telling you, if you just want great, great Jericho matches, I mean, just get this set. I mean,
if you have a man crush on Chris Jericho, if you love him, like, Chris Jericho is my second favorite wrestler of all time, and I love this set. I love this set to death. It's one of my favorite. It's probably in my, like, top six, at least, bios. Of course, it's just fantastic. There's the detail they go into, and then at the end, honestly, I think my favorite part is talking about him with Wade Barrett, honestly. I enjoyed the hell out of that because I'd never really heard about it beforehand.
Yeah, and they also even, like... talk to Barrett on there too.
Yeah, it's true. And I will say that Barrett and Jericho were a great pairing.
They were. And you know what? I want to say, like, the first week, I wasn't a fan. I wasn't really, like, a huge fan of Barrett because he was, like, kissing his ass, kind of, like, the first week. But he gradually grew out of that. But, yeah, just the pairing of Barrett and Jericho was just tremendous.
Because at the time they had similar characters.
Exactly. I mean, like Barrett was kind of doing the whole, you know, well, he didn't really talk slowly, but I mean, like, he was using, like, the big words and everything. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, and, like, I think even Jericho said that, you know, he saw a young Chris Jericho in him. I believe he's.
Yeah, and it's like, and hopefully whenever Jericho's, like, done, or maybe in a couple years, I would love to see an updated version of this set.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, all of his, you know, like, journeys with Fozzie and the podcast and his books. I mean, it'd be great.
I want to hear more stories about how he took his son to see Black Sabbath and that they saw a screen of two nuns covered in blood jerking off a cross.
Well, that must have been a very nice father-son experience.
Oh my God, I laughed so hard whenever I listened to that. I've been listening to a lot of Jericho's podcasts. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Like it's like my I don't like it as much as I like Stone Cold's and JR's, but I do still I love it. I listen to a lot. Anyway, Jericho's podcast Jericho's podcast is great too. But Jericho's bio is fantastic. I would definitely pick it up easily in top 10 they've ever made and top 6 for me personally, probably. So, moving on from that, we do have some short movie news before we get more into wrestling. I'm just going to go through quickly. Jamie, what did you think of the trailer to Guardians of the Galaxy?
Honestly, it doesn't really excite me all that much. I mean, just for some reason. I mean, yeah, sure. I'm pretty sure that, like, a lot of people are pumped because, you know, because of
Batista.
Yeah, him.
Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel are voicing a talking space raccoon and a talking tree. So, well, I mean, the tree only says three words, but still.
Yeah. As for the trailer, I don't imagine I'll be going to see it. I mean, like, there's only, like, a few select superhero movies that I see each year, and just I doubt I'll be seeing this one.
I've already made plans to see it with a good buddy of mine named Zach, who you guys will be hearing on the YouTube channel, doing some reviews of me occasionally in my solo reviews. You know, because, like, this year we've got what superhero movies we have? We got Amazing Spider-Man 2, X-Men Days of the Future Past, Guardians of the Galaxy, all three. Well, Amazing Spider-Man, I'm iffy on. Days of the Future Past looks great. Guardians of the Galaxy, it took me about 2 days to decide if I liked the trailer or not. I liked it. I thought it was pretty solid. I think it's different because it's Marvel's way, because Marvel hasn't, because if you read the comics and, you know, you watch fucking cartoons as a kid, space is such a big part of the Marvel universe, and they've really never explored that. Maybe Thor, kind of, but like, I really do kind of like how they're, like, putting it into the whole space thing, you know, so, like, if they wanted to set an Avengers movie in space, they could now, because they fucking set up this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, and plus, there's so many routes they can go, and it's just, I think it looks, it honestly, the best way I can describe the trailer is if Star Trek and the Avengers fucked and they made a baby, it would be Guardians of the Galaxy. not even because Chris Pratt looks so much like the dude who plays Kirk in the new Star Trek movies, but just because it's just weird. But nonetheless, then other one, have you heard the news about the Fantastic Four reboot that I don't care about, but I just want your opinion on one thing that people are bitching about? Human Torch is black.
Yeah, who's playing him again?
I don't know his name at all. I don't remember him.
Because I know that Jamie Foxx is,
if people are pissed off.
Because I know that Jamie Foxx is playing the villain.
He's Electro in Spider-Man.
I know that. But
yeah.
I don't get why people think like that's such a huge deal. I mean, it's still the same person. It's still the same villain.
Yeah, like, one issue I am seeing with this, with Fantastic Four, is people are saying, oh, it doesn't make sense Invisible Woman's white and their brother and sister. Like, you are aware that sometimes there can be a black parent and a white parent. And then there's this thing called adoption. So it's really not that far-fetched.
Look at the Proud Family show, even though their daughter wasn't adopted, but, you know, still.
Yeah, exactly. People get so up in arms, like, oh, why? But, like, it can happen, like, for fucking... It's not like they're... And if their parents were important characters, maybe I would even understand, but no, are their parents even in the comics? I don't even think so. I will say this, though. I don't even know the people playing Mr. Fantastic and Thing. I don't care. Invisible Woman is being played by Kate Mara, and that's all that matters, because she can act, and she's in House of Cards, and she plays Zoe, and it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
House of Cards is so good.
Yes, people, Caleb has a boner for House of Cards.
Dude, I have the biggest boner for House of Cards. It's so good.
Right.
I have to wait a year for more Kevin Spacey telling me about politics.
Oh, that's terrible, Caleb. I don't know what you're going to be doing for the next year.
Watching other shows.
Probably. All of Breaking Bad is on Netflix now, people.
dude, go watch Breaking Bad. It's all on Netflix now.
Every
and then True Detective is on, and you should all watch that because it's amazing.
Yes. So, yeah. Netflix just recently added the final episodes of Breaking Bad. So if you don't own any of the seasons, but you still have Netflix, go binge it if you can. Get up every now and then to stretch, but, you know, watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you work out while watching Breaking Bad?
I don't know what working out is.
I know, James. It's okay. Oh, my God. There's so much good. I don't think we have any more movie news, and if we do, I completely forgot about it, so I'm just going to move on.
It's our last show, people. Give us a break.
Yeah, give us a fucking break. Fuck Blog Talk Radio. And if this show gets deleted immediately after it goes up, and we don't, or like in, or whatever, like blog, I don't know if Blog Talk actually listens, because I doubt they give a shit, but if they listen, they're like, hey, you're bashing our product. I don't give a fuck. Fuck you. Fuck your shitty servers. Fuck your shitty Skype thing. Fuck everything about you, Blog Talk Radio. Fuck you guys. I'm going home.
Oh my God.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Blog Talk. I hate you so much. I hate you.
All right, Blog people. Talk, all right.
If you
on.
And the person I hate the most in this world were on a cliff and you were falling, I would save the earth. I would knock you both down. Anyway, going on. Man, we are actually going through this surprisingly fast. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. let's take a brief moment before we go into this week's top five to talk about the WWE Network.
Yes, the WWE Network recently launched this past Monday morning, 9 Eastern, I believe, and surprise, surprise, there were a lot of problems.
Yes, a lot of people. I have had no issues with it, but a lot of people do.
Yes, I mean, like with people just like signing up and everything, just like, all right, people here. Here's the deal. No technology is perfect when it first comes out.
Exactly.
Especially with a streaming service. They're going to have some kinks.
You got to calm the fuck down. Stop freaking out. Netflix was fucked up at first. Xbox Live. PSN is still fucked up, and it's been out for like 7 or 8 years.
Just let them work everything out. Just give them some patience. Don't yell at the customer service representatives. Just let it happen. And who knows, maybe they'll give you something because of it. Maybe they'll give you like another month because they screwed up so badly. Who knows? Just be patient and you'll be good.
Yeah, exactly. Just wait. Like WWE Network, I got it Monday. I've had no issues. Really, like a couple pausing issues, a couple glitches, but like other than that, I had no major buffering issues. I watched WrestleMania 1. Monday night, it was completely fine. I was watching the wrestling classic. I watched like the first match last night. I was watching a bit of it this morning, or I watched like the first hour, and it was fine, despite the fact that pay-per-view is so shitty. You can't cram 16 matches into 2.5 hours. all that stuff. And it's like, I'm not having any real issues. I understand a lot of people are. I don't know why I haven't had any extreme issues yet. But, you know, I mean, that kind of shit just happens sometimes. So who really knows?
But, yeah, I mean, all right. But, you know, this is definitely going to be a smart move by Vince because, I mean, it's a great bargain. You get every single pay-per-view that's ever been aired. You get all 12 live shows each year for $10 a month. Yes, it's $9.99 a month, but overall it's $10 a month overall.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's worth it.
Definitely. I mean, like, especially for people who do not buy pay-per-views on DVD, it's all right there at your fingertips.
Like we do, but we don't have access to, we don't have VHSs, so we can't fucking buy these ones from the 80s and early 90s.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, This is wrestling's Netflix. This is exactly what it is.
Yes, it is.
The best way to describe the WWE Network, it is wrestling's Netflix. And it's a damn good one, too.
It really is. It's like, I mean, just all the content you have, it's like, it's insane. It's just awesome. It's amazing. It's wrestling. Whenever I first signed up and I looked at it, I literally tweeted, holy fuck, this is wrestling heaven.
That's because that's exactly what it is.
God, it's so amazing.
Yes. And, you know, of course, it's only available in the U.S. right now, so people in Canada and the U.K. and everywhere else got to wait for a long-ass time. Except for people who have, like, worked it out to where, like, they're putting in fake addresses or, like, they found an address on Google Maps and they just put that in there. And apparently,
yeah, you put in the address of your local Wendy's.
Yeah, and apparently that works.
What I'm hearing. I'm not saying you should do it because I'm not sure if it's legal, but, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, hey, the opportunity's there. All you really need is your card and you're good.
Exactly. Just don't steal credit information. Like,
no, do not.
Assholes.
No,
fuck you.
No, you steal credit information,
you're a cocksucker.
Do not be a dick.
Wait, no, not that being a cocksucker is bad. I have nothing against people who... Damn it, I almost put myself into a corner.
Don't be a prick.
Yeah, don't be a prick.
Pretty much. That's what we're saying. Do not be a prick.
Yes.
Anyways. So, yeah, WWE Network, really good. Go out and get it. Do it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it right now. I mean, like, just open up a new tab. Just go to .com. They post links everywhere up on the damn page to get it. Just click one of them and just sign up. Just do it.
Yeah, I will say I did have issues figuring out how to log in, but once I figured it out, I was fine.
Yeah.
Then we're moving pretty fast, surprisingly.
Yeah, we are.
We got a bunch of stuff to talk about as well. Top five. This week's top five is top five underrated, you know, current wrestlers in WWE. Now, we did a couple months ago, we did a top five all time, and I think some relevant person only did current people because he obviously doesn't know anything else, you know. And if you know the Mr. Pulling Platoon we're talking about, then congratulations. Who cares? He doesn't matter. He's gotten all the airtime he needs. Fucking top five current WWE. Underrated stars, Jamie. Because I always let you go first, James. Why don't you go first?
I'm always the one to go first. All right, fuck this. All right, where's Cameron? He's the one that always.
He's still on vacation.
You see, when I went on vacation, I never took it this long. I took one show. That was it.
This is true. You took one show. Cameron is taking five.
Cameron's taking. I'm telling you, look at that. He missed out on the last five editions, even though one of them never even happened.
That's true.
Anyway.
And this one almost never happened.
Exactly. All right. So my top five underrated superstars currently today. Number five, we got Big E. Not Big E Langston, but just Big E. Big E can move like a friggin' race car with the size that guy has. He's a current reigning IC champion. I won't lie. I hated him when he first came in. I hated him. Like, I don't know why. I just did not like him. But you know what?
He's better as a face. A lot of people hated him as a heel.
Oh, definitely. Big E makes a much better face. His theme song is great. Three Ain't Enough, Man. I Need Five.
You love that song.
That song is great. I relate. That song is my anthem. That is my true anthem. Anyways, he had a series of matches with Del Rio last spring-ish, which surprisingly were really good. I mean, like, Del Rio and Big E had some sort of chemistry there that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they had, like, what, five or six straight TV matches in, like, 1 month?
I believe so.
Yeah, like on Raw and SmackDown, and, like, I think even on Main Event and shit. So... Yeah, so Big E is my five. Number four, we got Cody Rhodes. Now, I won't lie, when he was with Team Road Scholars, I really didn't think he was going to go much further than that. Because I never really thought that, like, he would ever be a world champion. But then when he broke away from Sandow, and then when he had that match with Sandow at SummerSlam last year, and that match that he had with Goldust against the Shield at Battleground was fantastic. I think the only good match on that entire card. But Cody Rhodes, though, definitely has impressed me the last 12 months.
Oh, definitely. Rhodes is very great. Like, he stepped up his game this last year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also... That epic moonsault that he did off of the cage there last month or a few weeks ago or whatever. That was awesome. And, you know, Rhodes, I'm saying this right now. If they break up Cody Rhodes and Goldust, Cody has to go face. You make him heel, that's going to kill everything. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, he's not going to be over the heel again.
No. And also, do not grow the mustache again. Because, I mean, like, the mustache worked for, like, a little bit, but I don't...
It got stupid.
Yeah, I don't think it would work again. All right, so yeah, so number four is Cody Rhodes. Number three, Titus O'Neil. He is recently broken apart from Darren Young, and, of course, he is going as a heel now. And he has a lot of potential. Now, I remember back on NXT, when he got cut, the promo that he cut was one of the stupidest ones I've ever seen. If you're going to win, make it a win. And, like, I think that was it. And it was one of the he tried to be all inspirational stuff. It did not work. When he was brought back and then when he paired him up with Darren Young, you know, I honestly thought that he wasn't going to go much further than that, but now that they finally broken them up, and now that he got the win over Darren Young at the Chamber this past Sunday night, that just goes to show that, you know, they actually have faith in Titus now, because a lot of people were comparing them to Crime Time when they broke up, but the only difference is that JTG won. And that was stupid. And Shad went nowhere after that. And then Shad would end up getting fired.
Another comparison here is primetime players are 10 times better than Crime Time ever were. That's honestly, and I don't know if you agree with me on that, and I can already tell by your voice you don't really, you're iffy on it, but that's just my opinion. I would never keep
on
Crime Time.
Yeah, I'm kind of iffy on that one. I mean, like, I enjoyed Crime Time a lot more than PTP, but I mean, that's whatever.
They did some entertaining. I enjoyed their segments more than I enjoyed their matches.
Yes, definitely. Now, all right. But yeah, now Titus, he's now broken away from Darren Young, so it looks like everything is on the straight and narrow right now with Titus. So I'm thinking that he might become either U.S. or IC champion before the year is over.
I would have him be the one to take it off of Big E.
Yep. But see, the only problem with that is that the IC title has been known to bring down everybody.
Yeah, that is the one issue.
Yeah, it did that to Miz, it did it to Barrett, it did it to Curtis Axel, and it's slowly beginning to do it to Big E.
Yes, so, unfortunately Big E. But the thing is, if you put the title on Titus and put him in a actual big time feud that makes the title look important, then
yeah,
that will be fine. It'll be in prestige all to the two guys involved and to the championship.
Exactly. All right, so Titus O'Neil is my number three. Number two, Seth Rollins. Poor Seth Rollins. This guy is
just lost in the shuffle.
He is the most overlooked guy in the Shield. It's either Ambrose or Reigns, and whether you like it or not, Roman Reigns is the next top star. Roman Reigns is the next John Cena, whether we like it or not. And Rollins, I mean, man, I'm telling you, the guy can go.
Yes, I agree with that. Rollins is an amazing talent.
Rollins is talented. Unfortunately, I don't see him making it to the world title picture at any point in time. But
not with one title.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, so, I mean, like, maybe I can see Rollins becoming U.S. champion. Because I think Rollins would make a pretty good U.S. champion.
I agree. The only issue is I'm worried that Rollins will become the next Kofi Kingston, and he'll just win random mid-card titles all the time.
Yes, and when in doubt of trying to take a title off somebody, you just go straight to Kofi Kingston, which is kind of funny. But, Seth Rollins, though, is the most overlooked member of the Shield, so yeah, Rollins is my number two. Number one, Cesaro.
Is he really underrated, though?
You know what? That's what I was thinking when I finally finalized this list. I mean, But I've noticed that, like, he'll have one really good match, and then people will just forget about him. And then,
yeah, that is true.
And then he'll have another good match, and then people will be really high on him, and then he won't have that one other good match for like, a long while, and then people will just forget about him. But, yeah, Cesaro can really go. When Cesaro turns face, I won't say it will be as epic as when Reigns will, but when he does, it's going to work, and it's going to work tremendously, because he's already over as hell with that swing. And,
exactly.
And the match he had with Cena was tremendous. He's having a rematch with Sami Zayn at that live show for NXT.
NXT Arrival.
Yeah, tomorrow night on the network. So... And, you know, that is probably going to be another classic one there. I actually still have yet to see his 2 out of 3 falls match with Sami Zayn, because apparently that match was tremendous. But I have yet to see that one.
It's very good.
Yes, and that's probably something I'll probably look up on either YouTube or wherever. But Cesaro, though, I think is great. And I would have liked to have seen him and Swagger become tag champs at some point, but it looks like that's not going to happen.
Yeah, they were my favorite WWE tag team since they started teaming together.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, that's it.
Okay, my top five is going to be so much more relevant than yours. Number five is someone who none of you were going to expect, and that is Hunakara. You don't know. Okay, so basically, Luis, whatever his name is, Mystico Sin Cara, he botched his way out of the Sin Cara suit, and I don't know what he's doing now. So then they said, "Hey, Hunico, you're Mexican, and you can high fly, and you're actually talented whenever you wear a mask for some reason. So why don't you go?" I'm not saying Hunakara here should be world champion, but people got to give the dude credit. Hunico can go whenever he's not in street clothes and he's wrestling. He's a fantastic worker. He doesn't botch. It's just fantastic. And people still calling him Botchkara and Hunakara. That makes no sense. He's a completely different person, for Christ's sake. Hunakara is just fantastic. I enjoy him. You know, I think he's – honestly, like, I think his matches with Del Rio were better than any ones that Mystico Sin Cara did. So that's that there. The only thing is they're not putting him against – like I guarantee you, Hunakara versus Cesaro would be a great match. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not Mystico Sin Cara. So just keep that in mind. You know, it's just fantastic. Number four is Heath Slater.
Really?
People give Heath Slater... Yeah. Oh, you don't like Heath... Oh, yeah, you hate Heath Slater. I forgot about that.
Hey, I hate 3MB. I cannot stand 3MB.
I like two-thirds of 3... I hate Jinder Mahal, but I like McIntyre and Slater. So that's the only thing I like about them. And just Heath Slater... Like, I honestly like him more than Drew McIntyre, probably. Now, McIntyre has more main event potential, but... Whatever. I mean, Heath Slater, when it comes to underrated, Heath Slater is so underrated. I mean, NXT, he was going and booming. I thought he was going to go places. And then, you know, I thought he was going to do something good after the Nexus ended, and he just did the one-man band thing. The Legends beat the shit out of him. 3MB was formed a year and a half ago. And there's
that. You know
that.
What? I'll say this.
I don't know.
3MB exceeded my expectations for longevity. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. I was there whenever they went out on Raw and started calling themselves the band.
Oh, well, look at that. You were part of history.
I was part of history. Yeah. I was part of one of the greatest moments. I mean, it's, you know, people can brag about whenever the New World Order brother started, but, man, seeing Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre unify together, I think that's one of the greatest moments. I can't keep a straight face. nonetheless, moving on. And moving on to number three on my list. Number three is one that no one is going to agree with. Because if you see my tweets, you're going to know I'm a big fan of this dude, and that's Jack Swagger. I don't give a shit what anyone has to say. Jack Swagger can work with the right people. Don't laugh, damn it. Jack Swagger is a good worker. I don't give
a fuck. Oh, I'm pretty sure he is. He's a great worker.
I know his wife had a sex tape a few years ago. Really, she actually did. It's hilarious. And it's just, like, seriously, like, Jack Swagger is he's not bad. Like, I'm not saying his world title reign was amazing because it was awful, but, like, Swagger is so underrated. Like, no one likes him. I'm one of his 11 fans. It's like, really, and it's not even because we're from the same state, because I fucking hate this state. It's just because I like Jack Swagger. He's a good dude. I've always been a fan.
Like his theme song.
His
current theme. His last theme was god-awful, but his current one is good.
His current theme is in, like, probably my top five favorites right now, like in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It was my ringtone for a while. And with Dutch, with Zeb Coulter, he's fantastic because he doesn't have to talk, and that makes him even better.
My fellow Americans. They're
yeah.
sneaking.
And now, sneaking from number three to number two on this list.
Oh, that's a segue.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's segue. Number two on this list is one that he has overlooked so much, and that is Tensai. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, my God, he just shucks and jives with Brodus Clay. Or, oh, he had that stupid gimmick where with potential where he actually pinned John Cena and CM Punk. Well, no, I'm saying he's a good worker. As A-Train and Albert, I was never a fan of his. When he came back, he impressed me a bit. But something about, like, he had a good match with Sheamus not too long ago, or maybe a year and a half ago or some shit. But like, he was really, like,
he has a very good mind for wrestling.
Yeah, and if you've heard him on NXT, he's a great announcer. Now, in Japan, I don't know what happened in Japan. I think he went to Japan and something just clicked with him to make him start being good. Because, and that's what I've always said is I go by this with wrestling, I say this. If the dude is too green, if he's too bad, if he's solid, and you see potential in him, send him to Japan. Japan increases your work rate and forces you to be a good competitor unless you're the Great Khali. Then you kill people in Japan.
I wonder what comes up when you type in Great Khali on the network.
Probably him winning the world title.
If that basketball thing is up there, I want to watch that.
Basketball zone. I need to look that up later after the show. Like I said, it's just I think Japan increases anyone's work. Like that's why I'm happy that David Hart Smith is in Japan because I always thought that he was a bit green and I thought he could always get a little better. And I'm happy to hear he's in Japan because I guarantee you, if he came back to WWE for a random match and they gave him 10 minutes, I guarantee you it would be better than any of his matches, singles matches in WWE, you know, he had before simply because of the fact that Japan increases your work rate and forces you to become a better performer.
Seems like Japan is like the magical kingdom for...
That's probably why they have a pay-per-view called Wrestle Kingdom.
Well...
And then number one on this list is Titus O'Neil. I've been saying this for so fucking long. Titus O'Neil has main event potential. He could be, as Brodus Clay calls himself, a main event player. Titus O'Neil has so... It's insane how much potential this dude has to... I agree that it would be... He would more fit the world title scene if they had two titles again. But hey, even with one title, if you book him right, you build him right. Him being Darren Young, I said this like not too long ago. If he beats Darren Young, then I think they're on the right path with him. Now, they could easily mess him up like they do a lot with guys, but Titus O'Neil has massive potential. I think we could see Titus O'Neil in a headlining WrestleMania one day. Maybe not for a world title, but I wouldn't be shocked if he was involved in some main event storylines in years to come. Because I honestly do think that Titus O'Neil is one of the guys on the mid-card. Well, now he's on the mid-card, no longer in the tag team division. So I honestly think Titus O'Neil has a chance to. He could take that step to the main event if they build him right.
Yeah.
I will admit this, though. I hated Titus O'Neil when I first saw him.
Yeah, I really wasn't all that big on him. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, this is, like, a huge blunder on his, you know, career. But, I mean, like, I remember when he failed that... that one challenge there on the second season, and I think it was the obstacle course, if I'm not mistaken. But I just noticed that he was very sloppy at times.
Oh, he was so sloppy. And yeah. It's one of the things you can use sloppy. I'm sorry, I listened to the Ross report last night, so I'm saying green because they would not. They just said green so much. So I'm wanting to say green, you know, green, sloppy, whatever. Titus was so, like, he felt like a rookie. Like, it was weird. Like, I don't know what the fuck changed between him being... Something in NXT Redemption just snapped in him. I don't know what it was. He just got good. He became a good mic worker, too. He's a good Matt. His promos are entertaining as hell.
Yeah, Winter, T-I-T-U-S. So next time, so like if someone is now a if someone becomes a new champion within or at Mania, they are now considered the United States Titus.
That sounds kind of cool.
Or WWE World Heavyweight Titus.
Oh, they should actually make Titus. They should give Titus O'Neil his own custom belt and call it the Titus Championship.
Oh yeah, because that works so much for a lot of people.
Hey, it works for Million Dollar Man.
because everybody loved the Edge Spinner Belt.
Hey, the Edge Spinner Belt was solid. It was stupid, but it was solid.
I hated it so much. That was probably
Skull Belt was awesome.
I mean, I love Edge, but that was probably that was probably my least favorite Edge moment.
Man, I mean...
What are you doing over there, clanking shit?
I'm trying to get a glass of milk, damn it. Maybe I'm thirsty.
I've done worse
on live radio.
I don't even want to know what you've done on live radio, because that just sounds nasty.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Back in August. Never mind. Anyway, nonetheless... moving on is we've got Raw and Elimination Chamber. We've got a bit. We've got a lot. Jesus Christ, we moved fast tonight. What the fuck?
The fact that it's almost 10. Nine, I guess, on the East Coast.
Yeah, we moved really fast. We don't really need to run down Elimination Chamber because any Elimination Chamber discussion can easily be discussed while discussing the main bullet points of Raw.
Yes.
So. One of the big parts of Raw was the opening. Hulk Hogan is
Hulkamania,
and he returned last week or this week. He returned 2 days ago,
Hulkamania.
And he was running wild on all of you.
Hulkamania ran wild once again. Hulk Hogan came back on Monday Night Raw during the opening segment, and it was really good. Nobody came out and BS'd around. There was no interruption. It was just Hogan doing his classic shtick, talked about the network, talked about Hulkamania, and it's great. So now Hogan's back, and a lot of people may not like Hogan, but you cannot deny how iconic his theme song is.
Oh, his theme song is so good.
His theme song is great. I'm Canadian, and I love his theme song, okay?
I am a real Canadian, fight for the rights of all Quebec. Wait, why Quebec? I don't know why I came up with that.
No, nobody wants to fight for the rights of Quebec. Anyways.
Yeah, they want to be France.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways, So, yeah, Hogan came back, did his thing. There was some network talk. I mean, it was just great. But Hogan is back where he belongs. And I think even Graham said this on the show that you were on there last night with them, that, JR said that, Hogan was more over in one night than he was in the 4 years that he was with TNA.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was the same thing with RVD. He came back, and he was over again. And WWE made RVD more relevant in one video package than TNA did during his entire duration there.
Plus, Hogan probably won't be in any actual storylines.
Exactly. I mean, Hogan is just there to host Mania, and that's it. I doubt he's going to be put in any kind of match because I doubt he passed the physical. So,
despite the fact that I did come up with an amazing idea for how you could put him in a match.
Exactly. But, Hogan, he's just the host.
Yes. There was a time whenever we thought The Rock would be added to the WrestleMania 27 main event.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, that probably would have made the main event just a little bit more better than just having Cena and Miz.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Yes, but anyways, Hogan's back, brother, and back for Mania. So you know what? Probably increased the buy rate just probably by a lot because Hogan's name is just synonymous with mainstream.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and. Then, of course, we had Batista versus Del Rio in a random match in which Del Rio...
Annoying fans.
Yes, annoying fans. Boo Batista, yes. And I honestly didn't really watch, or no, I never caught all of Batista's promo. So what exactly did he say?
He just said, you know what? I love this business.
Oh, okay.
And so and then he just said, you know, you boo me, I boo you back.
Okay, so basically right now he's being a tweener.
Yep.
Yeah, so definitely Batista will definitely be turning heel at some point, because you cannot have somebody go out there and just be booed constantly, and him being a happy-go-lucky babyface. I mean, like, the same thing happened to Rock. He continuously got booed until they turned him heel.
Yeah, exactly.
The only person that they won't turn heel is Cena, and for good reason.
Yeah, Stone Cold and JR had a great conversation about why you can't turn him heel last night.
Oh, really?
Yes, they did.
Oh, well, that's definitely something they'll be checking out. But, yeah, anyway.
Like I told you, it's 1 hour of them discussing booking and just logic. It's so awesome.
That's great. Yeah, all right. So, yeah. So Del Rio actually beat Batista, so. But,
yeah, for some reason. And
yeah.
No one will remember it.
No. And, you know, I just find it funny that, like, Batista can make anybody that he's going up against now an automatic face, because Randy Orton got a pretty decent pop, too, when he came out.
Exactly.
So yeah. And
I have no idea where they're going with that. I was saying on Graham's show last night, the only logical Daniel Bryan looks like he's going to be facing Triple H. And the only other logical person there is to put into this match is CM Punk, and he took his ball and fucked off.
Pretty much. And Daniel Bryan going up against Hunter. That I have no issue with. Because, all right, if CM Punk was going to face Triple H, what exactly were they really going to do with Bryan? I mean, like, other than add him into the mix and make a triple threat. But, yeah, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, I really do not have a problem with. Because it's been building since SummerSlam, and
exactly.
It's and it's actually a match that a lot of people really want to see. And you know, a lot of people are claiming that, oh, Triple H is just going to bury him. Now, just hang on a second.
Chris Benoit, Batista, John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he went 4 straight WrestleManias putting people over.
Exactly. So, yeah. Triple H, definitely I could see him losing to Bryan if that doesn't happen, then I'm going to seriously question the logic of that, because honestly, that really wouldn't make much sense. But you know, it will be what it will be. So, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, other than that, we got build for Bray Wyatt versus John Cena.
Yes. An injury. It's all a work.
Yeah. Is there? Oh, it is.
It's a complete work. Cena is not injured. It is a 100% total work. So for those people that were worrying about Cena being injured before Mania, he's not injured. It's a work. And I will say this: Cena did a damn good job of convincing us that it wasn't a work.
Cena is good at selling in like that he's hurt.
Exactly. So yeah, Cena, he's not hurt. It's a work. Don't worry. It's just going to be an injury angle to play into their match at WrestleMania.
That worries me, though, because then they'll, if that entire match at WrestleMania is Bray Wyatt working the leg and then Cena just hits an AA, then there was no point in having that match.
It'll be vintage Super Cena.
Yeah, if Bray Wyatt loses, there will be no point in having that match.
No. And honestly, Cena does not need the win at Mania.
Cena's established. Cena's established as the top guy for like 8 years now.
Exactly.
He doesn't need to win.
No. I mean, hell, he lost a match to Curtis Axel.
That's true.
And look where Axel is. I mean, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He did win by countout, though.
Yes, but I mean, like, you know, it's still a win, kind of. But,
Yeah, in the record book, it's a win.
Well, Ryback pinned him at Payback last year. And that
is also true.
In that match, but, you know, of course, that did nothing. But, you know, honestly, if Wyatt does actually win via pinfall on Cena, I'm going to be surprised, but I'm going to be very interested to see where it goes from there.
I could see, though, is I honestly think that if Bray Wyatt wins, it won't be clean.
No. That is unless if they somehow make, like, the Wyatt family, like, busy that night, like, maybe have them in, like, a tag team title match. I have been saying this entire time to get just a bunch of people on the card, just have, like, a Fatal 4-Way tag match for the tag titles. Do it like
yeah.
you did. Just do it like you did it at 20. I mean, just have New Age Outlaws, Usos, Wyatt family, and, hell, Cody Rhodes and Goldust if they're not broken up by them.
Or Rybacksel.
Or, yeah, Rybacksel. But anyway.
Don't do Los Matadores.
No, God, no.
We've been ranting about that. I think this is only the second time we've ever brought them up since the first episode.
You know what? I believe so.
Yeah, because the first episode we both bitched about how terrible they were because it was that week that they debuted.
Yeah, and that team, obviously, I don't see them going far.
That team has gone nowhere but downhill since they debuted.
Exactly. I mean, they.
Tito Santana fucked a Ninja Turtle. We would get Los Matadores, and it's awful.
The little bull is the only thing that's making it kind of funny.
He was good in the Royal Rumble. Like, should he have been in it? Probably not, but that was entertaining as fuck.
He actually sold the move.
Yeah, exactly.
The bull. You don't see that happening. But anyway.
Better than
Hornswoggle. This is true. Yeah, so. And let me see. Other than that, we got some tension between Cesaro and Swagger. So it looks like their breakup is like, it's basically a foregone conclusion now that that's going to happen.
This is the only weird thing is, and I know things can change, but I was listening to Stone Cold's interview with Zeb Coulter, and Zeb Coulter said there were no plans to break up the Real American soon. Which I don't know if there's any truth to that or if he was trying to hide it, but like it looks like they are.
Maybe he's just trying to hide that, I think, because, maybe there's some kayfabe thrown in there, but...
I wouldn't be shocked if after the podcast ended, he was like, hey, man, I couldn't let people know, but yeah, we're planning on breaking them up.
Yeah, so, yeah. If Monday was any indication, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, can we talk about the final segment?
Yes, we can, because it was... Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman were out there, and Brock Lesnar was given an open contract to face anybody he wanted at WrestleMania because, you know, he's not going to be thrown into the world title picture. All right, but if Lesnar does win the title at some point, which I'm sure will happen, definitely.
I honestly think it needs to happen.
You don't think it needs to happen?
I think so. I think Lesnar needs to hold the title at some point.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, like, you know, you have him around for another year because I think he's signed through WrestleMania 31. I mean, unless if they convince him to come back for another year, in which Lesnar apparently loves the curl that he's in right now, and, like, who could blame him? He's getting paid millions to just do only two or three matches a year.
Exactly.
So, I mean, hell, I'd like, I would love that too, but.
And people are saying he's going back to the UFC, and no, he's not. I guarantee you he's not.
No, Lesnar's not going back to the damn UFC. That's not happening.
His stomach, he's like, stomach can't take that.
No. So, yeah. Lesnar, if he does win the title, I can maybe see it happening at SummerSlam, or like maybe even at like next year's Rumble. You just never know.
Yeah, there are tons of options and tons of scenarios for Lesnar to win.
Exactly. But yes, Lesnar was given an open contract to face anybody he wanted at WrestleMania, and the gong went off, and the return of The Undertaker took place this past Monday night.
Man, the Undertaker returning is, like, not as important as the real star of that segment returning.
Exactly.
Undertaker's goatee returned. Oh, my God. His Ministry of Darkness goatee is back. It's the greatest thing ever. Oh, my God. It's so awesome.
The Undertaker is back. Brock Lesnar signed the contract, and Undertaker stabbed Brock Lesnar with a pen.
Oh, so good.
We witnessed a live stabbing on PG television.
Man, we haven't seen a pin stabbing, I believe, since Hogan Vince.
Since Hogan and McMahon. I don't think we've seen one since then. And apparently the pen was still in Lesnar's hand.
Yeah, that was like, did he legitimately actually stab him with the
pen? I'm wondering that. I mean, like, it's either that or they did a damn good job at covering it up.
Yeah, exactly. This is all I'm going to say. If you noticed, Lesnar had, like, I don't know what the fuck, but he had, like, a little, like, scab or something on his hand before it happened.
Yeah, and Lesnar's just, oh, my God. Lesnar, man, I'm telling you.
I fear for Mark Calloway's health at WrestleMania 30.
All right, okay. I'll just say this now. If Lesnar actually did get stabbed with a pen, kudos to Lesnar for doing that.
Yeah, because that makes me, like, that should make people who hate Brock Lesnar happy, because, like, oh, he took a massive bump. That's like Savage being bitten by a snake.
Oh, my God, that was so, oh, man, that was brutal. But I fear for the health of Mark Calloway come April 6th in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm pretty sure Taker at this point chooses who he faces each year now.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, if he thinks that he's up for it, then, you know, I guess we just got to go with him. I mean, like, unless if he's, like, talked extensively with Lesnar saying, okay, don't slam me too hard against the barricade. If you're gonna,
I will say this is Undertaker is a guy who, from what I've heard, he doesn't bullshit you. So it would not shock me if he just pulled Lesnar aside one night. And they're on, like, I don't think they dislike each other at all. And he just said, "Hey man, I'm not in the best of shape. I want to get to 25-0. Pull your fucking punches. Don't fucking break me in half. Make sure you connect with everything well. Don't slam me into the goddamn barricade.
Don't."
Don't break my hip out there.
If you pat on me on the table, do it gently, even though there's no really gentle way to do it. But I am very sure, though, that match will probably become a street fight of some sorts, because
it has to.
Lesnar and Taker cannot do a normal one-on-one match. I really don't think that's possible.
He hasn't. Since WrestleMania 25 was the last one that didn't involve no disqualifications.
29.
Oh my God, I'm stupid.
His and Punk's was a
stupid. Fuck, his, last year's was normal.
His and Punk's was a normal one-on-one match because Punk was playing up on the fact that, like, yeah, I can beat you, like, via DQ or countout or anything, so.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Which would have been stupid if his streak ended like that.
Undertaker kicks Punk in the balls 20-1.
I love that build-up, though. I am the 1 and 20-1. I'm going to sound like a typical punker when I say this, but I thought that was brilliant.
It was. And, like, I'm no punker by any means. But it was just really good, and it's just another one of those things with Undertaker where, like, honestly, I think his build-up with Lesnar is going to be equal amounts of awesome as it was last year with Punk.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I'm looking forward to it. They had great matches in the past, albeit it was 12, 11 years ago. But they were still pretty good. His cell match.
Even their biker's chain match.
Their biker chain match was actually pretty decent. But
I really like that match.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, this match is going to be good at Mania. Wouldn't shock me in the least if it was match of the night. And I'm kind of intrigued by what kind of entrance Taker will have, because last year's was epic. With, like, the hands, like, grabbing at him and shit.
Yeah. Oh my God. Undertaker's entrances at WrestleMania since, like, I want to say, like, 23 or 24 have just been so amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. And last year's my... Okay, 26 was my favorite, simply because of the... I love that purple strobe thing. Man, that was so cool.
Oh, yeah. I think it was 27 entrance just because of the Johnny Cash song in the background.
Yes, so that's what I thought. So they did edit that song out on the streak set.
Yes, and they also cut that part out on the WrestleMania 27 DVD, along with the Metallica song with Triple H's entrance, which pissed me off because I loved that entrance.
Did they take out the actual lyrics?
Oh, no. Like, the song, like, isn't even in there.
It's on my Wrestling 27 DVD.
Well, shit. I must have been... I must have got screwed out of a deal then. But then again...
Yeah, I was watching it a few months ago and that song was in it.
But then again, when I... funny story, actually. When I ordered WrestleMania 27 on Amazon on Blu-ray, and when I got it, they actually shipped me two copies. Brand new.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
I have no idea. I didn't order two. I ordered one, and they shipped me another one. So I got two in the same
Double place. The bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much. So I ended up giving it to my friend whom I didn't know. He had a PlayStation 3, and I was like, you want WrestleMania 27? It's terrible. Do you want it? I should have sold it, but whatever. But yeah, that was so funny. But
yeah, that's weird.
But yes. So we didn't.
Oh my goodness! What so much craziness? What am I talking about?
So much shit! So much shit going on. These days,
I mean, wrestling is getting crazy. MVP is like in TNA as an investor or some shit.
Doesn't he own like 10% of the storyline or something like that?
He owns half, and then or something weird like that. And Bobby Roode gets 10% if Team Dixie wins the lockdown.
Why do I have a feeling that this line is going to drag on just like Aces and Eights?
It will. And the best part about this is MVP is not under contract.
So he can just fuck off whenever he wants.
If MVP wants to take his ball and go home like Punk did, which MVP is a complete professional, so he won't do.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't give a shit. I know he won't do that because I think the MVP, and MVP has said his plans. He wants to stay until at least Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
He wants to wrestle on every major wrestling show on every major company.
There you go. Yeah, but...
I don't know, and it's like Dixie Carter has, it's one of those things where TNA's been good lately, but fuck, I mean, Dixie Carter is really, like,
the
her
last,
on-screen character needs to stop.
The last time I watched TNA, it was during a Dixie Carter promo of some sort, and I could not find the remote fast enough, because her voice annoys me. The second I heard it, I could not stand it.
I heard that, I heard her kind of promo live.
Oh, how was that?
It was awful. And this is coming from, I saw Jesse Godders versus Joseph Parker that night, but nothing was worse, and that match was awful, and nothing was worse than Dixie Carter cutting a promo.
You know what? I don't think I've ever seen a promo cut live, but then I've only been to one live event in my entire life.
Oh, so they've never, like, oh, so you never heard, promos are cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. Like, the closest one I heard to a promo was when Alejandro Estrada came out and he mispronounced the city's name, in which I don't blame him. I don't want to say the city's name either. And yeah, that was it. He was hosting something. I forget what. But...
Oh, was that back when he was in ECW, the general manager?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I went to a live event that was, I think, a week after Backlash in 2008.
Ooh.
Yes. And
so Kane was ECW champion.
Yes, and it's funny because, like, a lot of people were saying, like, oh, I can't wait to see The Undertaker, and I'm just like, Taker hasn't been advertised. So I was not, expecting to see Taker. It would have been nice, but no, I never did. I saw Batista before people hated him.
I saw Batista. The first live event the first SmackDown I ever went to had Batista versus Big Show.
The main event for the live event I was at was Edge and MVP against Matt Hardy and Batista. And what was actually a pretty good tag match, actually. It was a no DQ match, and I remember the only weapon that was used was a hockey stick.
Huh.
Yeah, that Edge cracked off the back of Matt Hardy.
Of course, Edge would use a hockey stick in his own home country.
Yes, because they were because like they had just mocked Montreal, because I think that year they lost like four straight to Boston or someone or
go
like,
Bruins.
Fuck you. Some team beat them out four straight, and Edge was mocking Carey Price, and oh my god, it was so funny. But yeah, so yeah, like Edge actually came out in a Montreal Canadiens t-shirt, which was actually pretty cool. And MVP, I think that was probably the first time he's ever held a hockey stick before.
I yeah. almost made a really racist joke.
You might want to avoid that just a little bit.
I almost said it, but I didn't. I couldn't do it.
Well, that's good. Let me see. Another one on there. Let me see. This is back when CM Punk won his first briefcase. So he had that, and he faced Chuck Palumbo, I think, and Palumbo got, like, zero reaction.
Chuck Palumbo hasn't had a reaction since he was gay.
Yeah, so, and I remember that match being kind of bland. I actually saw DiBiase before he debuted on television, which is pretty cool. He lost to Kenny Dykstra.
Well, that's just stupid.
What was another one? Let me see. Chavo faced Kane for the upteenth time. I believe the ECW title was on the line, and there was also Kofi Kingston's Mike Knox.
Sorry. Very interesting match.
Yeah, so
I've seen some interesting matches live. I've been to like 11 events, I believe.
Shit. Well, WWE never comes here, and I don't blame them. So
yeah, because that is one thing I will say is like that's the only good thing about living in Oklahoma is they're guaranteed here at least once or twice a year.
Oh yeah, like they hit every state at least once a year,
except for Hawaii and Alaska.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So they hit all 48 states at least once a year.
Yeah, and I will say they do live events in Hawaii.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, because Chris Jericho on his podcast one time was talking about how him and Ricky Steamboat had one in Hawaii once.
Yeah, because I think like a month before WrestleMania, I think Taker and Edge had a match for like the very first time.
Yes, it was.
Yes, and I know it was. You know what? I actually think it was in Chile. I think.
Yeah. Okay. It was in Chile.
Because I know it was outside North America. I know that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, really quickly before, you know, we've still got a bit.
Yeah.
We got quite a bit of time here. Like, what, 15 minutes?
10 minutes now.
Oh, shit. We've got a lot. I don't know why I said 15 minutes. We got a lot of, just really quickly, talk about some shit. We're moving to YouTube. This is our last one on Blog Talk. You can subscribe to the channel, which is youtube.com/EVProduction. Is that right?
EVProductions. That's where the future editions of C Reviews will be there. Kyle and Max. For some reason, we put review in a lot of our titles. That is not our fault. Trust me.
Yeah, that's not my fault either. I think it's bullshit, and you guys ripped me the fuck off.
Well, hey.
You stole my idea.
Well, hey, I've been on here for, like, the better part of the past month.
That's true. You can take the review if you want.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, yeah, anyways.
And then, yeah, I'm going to be doing random stuff. So, like, honestly, if you see a random video that says, like, True Detective Season 1 review, or you see on the channel, or you see, like, top 10 best and top 3 worst, or top 5 best, top 3 worst at pay-per-views of 1 year top 10 best matches. It's me. And it's and sometimes I'll be joined by Jamie, sometimes I'll be joined by Zach, who you guys don't know, and you won't know until this channel, actually, which is going to be kind of cool. He's not a permanent host or anything. He's not going to have his own show. The Zach Attack is not coming to EVTV Productions. You know, just a good friend of mine, Zach, and he doesn't have a Twitter account. His name is just Zach Samuels. He's a dude, a good friend of mine.
And he's just going to be helping me out with some of the reviews and stuff, and that's going to be cool. So hopefully you all enjoy him, help bring him into it, dip his toes into the podcasting, and it should be fun. The most part, that's pretty much all, you know, like I said, I'm going to have – most of the content is going to be me just doing random shit, and then I'm going to have people with me sometimes.
Yeah.
But then every week you're guaranteed to have Mac and Kyle's reviews and then CNC reviews.
Yeah, so – yeah. Pretty much all
future
content.
And no more time constraints, so we won't be 90 minutes anymore.
Yes, and we won't be late either, so.
Yep, we won't be late anymore, because especially since we won't have to deal with Blog Talk, because we're leaving Blog Talk for YouTube. And Blog Talk Radio, I hope, I fucking beg to fuck that someone from Blog Talk is listening or is going to listen to an archive of this. Fuck you. Fuck you, Blog Talk. I hate you. This is not the opinions of the network we are working for. This is not the opinions of PWP Radio. This is the opinions of Caleb Johnston and Jamie Lee Mack. Fuck you, Blog Talk. CNC Reviews is no longer here. It doesn't affect PWP Radio. You'll never have to deal with us again. That's just that. It has nothing to do with PW Powerhouse. This is just us. This is the complete opinions of Caleb and Jamie. Blog Talk, if you're listening. So do not, like, fuck up the channel or anything that we're leaving or the station. You can, but our show, this is the last one we're doing on here until we go to YouTube next week. So fuck you. Yeah. Complete. You know, if you want to, if you get all pissy, want to take off account, take off our old one, because no one cares about that.
All right, sure, whatever.
Yeah, no one cares.
All righty, so we got about six minutes left. So do you want to get our social media or our social media plugs out there?
Yep, you can follow me. You can follow me at The Awesome Clark, and you can follow show's Twitter at EV Radio. Which honestly, I don't know if we're even gonna need that account ever again. That account is kind of pointless when you really think about it. That's yeah, you know, I've already plugged the fucking channel and everything. So, Fox James, you go ahead and plug your shit.
Well, fine then. You can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Lee Mack, and. Yeah, that's it. And go and sub to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/EVTV Productions. I find it funny that TV is in there because we're podcasting, and podcasting has nothing to do with TV. So, but yeah, so youtube.com/EVTV Productions, that's where all future editions of, well, pretty much everything is going to be there. So CNC Reviews will be there. Kyle and Max review will be there. All of Caleb's shit will be there. So, just,
that's a lot of shit, too.
Yes.
I'm going to have a lot of shit on there.
Yes, so just go sub to that place. And also sub to mine, youtube.com/Jamie Lee Mack. I upload every once in a while, so.
You know, not as much as you used to, but still, I subscribe to you.
Yeah, I know, Caleb, and it's very, very nice.
I love you.
That's.
I'm not Kyle, I'm kidding.
That's nice.
I'm not Kyle, I'm not going to tell you I love you because you're my friendo.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Anyway, also follow other people. You follow Cameron is it still NLC We Trust? It's that LSU fan, right?
Yes, it's at that.
That's the first time I've ever been confused by it. I just forgot. That LSU fan. And then also follow Sweet Fan Music.
Yes, and also follow at RedK13.
Yes, yeah, Kyle's doing shit.
Yeah.
Zach Samuels does not have Twitter because he doesn't like social media and he thinks it's fucking stupid. So, yeah. I don't know. He's not going to have Twitter.
Well, at least someone has the right idea.
Yeah, Zach, he had Facebook for a long ass time, but then he said fuck Facebook and he got off of it.
Yeah, Facebook's just so boring now.
I deleted mine.
It's just not exciting anymore. I mean, like... I go on maybe once, I'll scroll through my feed, and then that's it.
I deleted mine because I was just done. I don't care. Could I eventually make a new Facebook one day? Probably not. If I do, I'm not going to add family members.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. I will probably never make a Facebook again. It is completely pointless, and it's just dumb, and I'm just done with it, and... Yeah, there's just that. There's Twitter, which Twitter's pretty cool. Despite the fact that I only tweet on Mondays and Wednesdays pretty much for the most, like, actually all day.
Yeah. Alrighty, so are you all set to get off here then?
Can we end the show? Wait, I have no. My clock is weird. So how much longer do we actually have on air time?
We got about 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay. We could just sing songs for 2 minutes, but do the people want to hear that?
No, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear you sing. Nobody wants to hear me sing. Nobody wants to hear
you. You know what? I think it's our last show on Blog Talk. I think the people want to hear me sing.
No, they do not want to hear you sing.
I've been called the songbird of my generation.
Okay there, Mr. Step Brothers references. No, Caleb, don't. You are already killing the listening count. It's going down drastically right now.
It's going down. Okay, I'm trying to think of a song. Fuck, shit, 90 seconds to think of a song. James, name me a song.
No, I'm not giving you any damn song.
Please give me a song.
No, I'm not giving you any song.
Can you give me a ballad?
No, I cannot. I'm not giving you any kind of song.
Can you give me a vowel?
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to sing to you.
No, Caleb. Nobody wants to
just
hear.
A small town girl.
No.
Living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Okay, I'm going to stop now.
Alrighty. Alrighty. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Don't die. So, subscribe to YouTube. Fuck Blog Talk. We're done.
YouTube.com/EVTV Productions. Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.
Bye.